Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 9 through 16, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time of worship. We thank you for the saints that have come out. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, When You Are Forsaken. When you are forsaken. As we continue in this wonderful book, 2 Timothy, as we're closing in on closing out chapter 4, this is Paul writing to young Timothy, and he's writing while he's in prison. Paul was persecuted, beaten, apprehended. He went through so many trials and tribulations that we could be here all night learning about them. But one of the things that was taking place with Paul is that he knew his life was coming to an end. He knew that he had ran the race. He knew that God had called him out of darkness into his marvelous light. He understood his call in life, because we have to understand that Paul was Saul of Tarsus. This man was very intellectual. He was the attorney of the day before he got saved. And his agenda was to destroy the church, the living God, the church of the living God. He was knocked off his beast. He was on his way on the Damascus Road to persecute more Christians, and God had to intersect and intervene his life, no differently in how he came to our life. You guys know my testimony. Some of you have some radical testimonies on how you came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were times that he had to just intervene in your life. Why? Because some of us were going to self-destruct. But here we see Paul writing these last scriptures in chapter 4, that his life was coming to an end and his body was suffering. And God was giving me a revelation today as I was studying for this, is that when you know God is speaking to you and your life is coming to an end, things start happening to you physically. And I truly believe that he never walked in fear, but he knew his time was up, and he was getting weak, and he was getting cold, and there were things that he needed, and he was hoping that they would come to him. But we're going to read in the rest of these scriptures that he was forsaken. What? He labored and toiled, and he won many to the Lord Jesus Christ, but something profound happened during the end of the course of his race, is that there were men that loved God and that were laboring with him. They forsook him. God was teaching me, hey, keep your eyes on me. I've been here 8 years. I've seen wonderful men and women that have was raised up in this ministry, and some of them left the proper way, and there's some that just forsook me and forsook the church. And it was like, wow. But now I understand that these things happen in life, and there's nothing you can do about it other than you cry out to God, because God is my source. Can I get an amen? Is God your source? Amen. Amen. He's your one and only. And so when there are times when you're struggling, either in your faith or even in your own humanity, there's only one person to turn to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read verses 9 through 16, and ask God to just take us where he needs to take us tonight. And so it reads, be diligent to come to me quickly. He's telling Timothy, come quickly. Why? Verse 10, for Demas has forsaken me. You read the scriptures and Demas was always there. He's mentioned for reason. Why? Because God will sometimes put someone on blast, man, when you're being disobedient. And we truly believe that Demas forsook him, like the word of God says. Look at this. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. In other words, the world drew him out. He was on fire for God. Then all of a sudden, the world had more to offer than what God had already ordained for his life. Look at this. And has departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark. Bring him with you, for he is useful for me in the ministry. Verse 12. And Tychius I have sent to Ephesus. Now, look what he's asking. Verse 13. Bring the cloak that I left at Carpus at Troas when you come. And the books, especially the parchments, these are things that he had written down. These were the letters, the epistles. You got to remember, the majority of the epistles in the New Testament were written by Paul. But where was he when he wrote these wonderful epistles? He was in prison. He was apprehended. My goodness. Now listen, I've shared this in the past. Those facilities back then, they were not like Donovan's prisons. Donovan's has the flat screen TVs. They have the running utilities. You know, they're cared for, three meals a day. They get to exercise, lift weights, all those things. These guys were chained to each other. It was rat infested. And there was probably, you know, feces and everything all throughout that place. They didn't have a triple A rating. He suffered for the cause of Christ. He suffered. He knew his call. But look what he says, bring that cloak and especially the parchments. Verse 14, Alexander, the coppersmith, did much harm. Now he's mentioning about people that did a lot of harm to him. Saints, I want to encourage you tonight. There's going to be people, even in the church, outside of the church, someone in your family, acquaintance, they're going to bring harm to you, but it's how you handle it. Do you backbite? Do you get even? I'm going to get revenge? Or do you turn it over to the Lord? And you give it to God. And say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. We're going to see exactly how Paul had to handle this. But he did say that Alexander, the coppersmith, did much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. So he's saying, God, I'm not going to say anything negative, but you... If he's done something contrary to the will of God, you deal with him. We've seen so many people in the 8 years of doing ministry. Beautiful people, we blessed them out, and there were some, they were not thankful for the ministry that they had here, and they cursed me basically in my face, and they took off. It happens. It happens. There's not a perfect church or a synagogue. They're not. Because if you find the first perfect church and you invite me there, as soon as I sit down and walk in, it's not perfect no more. So these things are going to happen. Look and look at verse, let's stay with 14. Alexander the copper did much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. So in other words, he probably came to instruct him and say, listen, come on, let's reconcile, let's get it right. But he refused instruction. So the word of God puts Alexander on blast. Now, we will never put anyone up here on blast who has done us wrong. But you know what? In my private room, Lord, you deal with it. I can't do anything. I have no strength. I have no power. I can't deal with this. Lord, you deal with it. And we're going to see how God deals with these things, especially if you are a man and woman of God who is walking rightly before him. And when you're rightly walking before him, oh man, he will watch over you and cover you. But if you're living a life of rebellion, man, I don't care how much Bible you know. I don't care what you think you know. He will expose
your sin.
I'm just saying, like the Bible says, he will expose it. Whatever's done in the dark, he will bring it to the light. Why? Because he wants us to walk with the purity of heart. We are to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and we are to love our neighbor just like what? Ourself. All those 614 laws of God all hinge on two. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and soul. It, you know, in Deuteronomy, it's the Shema. It's hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. And then they're instructed, then we're instructed today to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Verse 16, and my defense, at my defense, no one stood with me. Look at this. So we're going to see that when Paul was apprehended, he was actually in a court of law, and no one came to his defense. No one said, that's not right. No, that's a lie. No one came to his defense. He was all by himself. And we know the rest of the story. His head was chopped off. Paul the Apostle. My goodness. At first, he goes, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. But look how he handled it. Look what he told God. But don't let it be charged against them. Man, that's not weakness. That's meekness. Strong in the Lord, and yet humbled with humility. He understood what Jesus said. He understood. So let's go back to verse 9. Be diligent. Come to me quickly. So saints, both here and in verse 21, Paul urged Timothy to come soon, preferably before winter. And we don't know what season of the year this was written, but this letter would have to be carried from Rome to Ephesus. And Timothy would then have to make this return trip. So the whole process would take a few months. Just imagine to send a letter. Now we can just what? Take out our phone and we can text it. Or we could take a snapshot, clack, and they get it instantly. They had to wait 3 months. And look at all the toils and the journeys that these messengers had to go through just to get the letter to the other side of the continent. Praise God, though. But God's word, hallelujah, is forever settled in heaven. God did not allow the word of God, the scriptures, to be destroyed. So his hand of grace and mercy was on these messengers that traveled. Can I get a amen? And so it would take a few months. Paul knew his execution was imminent, but he had no idea how quickly it would be carried out. He was already sentenced to death. He was apprehended. And so the Roman judicial system often had long delays in the process. More likely, it was Paul's feeling of loneliness, isolation, that prompted him to say, come soon. He longed to see Timothy one last time. Listen, if you were in prison for the cause of Christ and no one came to visit you and you labored before God, you took beatings, you were spat upon, you were lied upon, you were apprehended falsely, and no one came to your defense, ask yourself this, would you be lonely in that prison cell? I know I would. I would think everyone forsook me. Maybe you too, God. Maybe you forsook me. He knew his time was imminent. He was old. He was struggling physically. And then the death sentence that was given to him. So let's go to verse 10 now. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, and Titus for Dalmatia. So, saints, Demas is also mentioned in Colossians and Philemon. Demas loved the things of this life, and so he deserted Paul, basically. I'm gone. These things attract me more. And so perhaps he was ashamed of Paul's chains and not willing to face the same fate for the Christian faith. You guys ever read the Book of Martyrs? Or you ever see the magazine Martyrs for Christ? My goodness. We were just looking at the magazine the other day. There's these underground churches in India. They have to really get way outside of it. They have to go in the wilderness to get baptized in a river. And they have to do it sneaking out. Because if the authorities get wind, they'll all be beheaded right there on the spot. Because the majority of them are Hindus. And they hate Christians. I remember this one Hindu. Oh, yeah, I'll bring your God, bring your Jesus. I'll just add them, like Brother Felipe said, I'll just add them to my 3 million other gods. Wow. And so Demas, he may not have deserted the faith, but he sure deserted the apostle in the time of his need. He was with him. Look in Colossians 4:14, look at this. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. He was with them at one time. How many of you could honestly say, some of you have been walking with Christ for 30, 40 years, some of you maybe 10 years, 7 years, and how many of you can honestly say you know people that we started out together in the faith, and now they're living out in the world? Huh? What happened here? What happened to their faith? What happened to their life? Well, number one, they didn't understand their call. And they didn't understand the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the love of God. And so when trials and tribulations came, it's like, where was their foundation? Jesus talked about, is your foundation built on sand or is it built on a rock where it's immovable? Because if it's based on sand, when a storm comes, a trial comes, guess what? Your whole foundation will collapse. And you won't know how to run to God, but you'll run to other things, looking for answers. And God is saying, wait, stop, come to me. Jesus has the answer. How many of you know that Jesus has the answer? Look at it here in Philemon. There's only one chapter in Philemon. So look at this in verse 23. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, Jesus greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas. There's Demas again. He's there with them. But as Paul was going to go be with the Lord, and he needed brothers and sisters to come just to pray with him, Demas forsook. Sprinted, gone. Can't even call him. Won't pick up the phone. Try to reach him out. No, I'm not calling you back. I'm gone. If that hasn't happened to you, keep on living. You'll have someone forsake you. I've seen husbands and wives forsake each other in the times that we live in. Why? Oh, we just don't get along. We don't see eye to eye. No, you don't see Christ in your life. Because if you see Christ as the head, then there's order. Christ, the man, the woman, then the child. That's God's order. And if it's out of order, you're out of order. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's all about submitting unto the Lord. How many would rather submit and be obedient unto God so that he could bless your life and my life? Amen? I've learned it the hard way. As a young Christian, man, I was living a Burger King life, having it my way. And God had to, man, collapse everything. And then I had to just give it all to him and let him do what he's going to do in my life. And when I started learning that and loving him more, that's when he knew that he could trust me with the holy things of God. This is why he didn't give me a Philistine woman. He handpicked his daughter from his garden to present it to me. And I had to go through 10 years of serving him, loving him. Why? Because I had to unlearn to relearn the things that he loved. And when you start understanding the things that he loves, guess what? That's when God will start sanctifying you, setting you apart. Why? Because you're loving the things of God and you want to walk now with honor unto him. And so when that comes and starts coming together in your life
as one, meaning
your will, your desires, your ambition. You go, Lord, all of it I give to you because I want to walk according to you. That's when he starts doing the miraculous in your life. That's when you start going from faith to faith and glory to glory. And he will do the miraculous and you are going, my gosh, how come I didn't know this long ago? Why didn't I start out like this? No, because a lot of us, we come into the saving knowledge of God, but yet we have years of junk that's still in the trunk. And we bring it into the salvation walk, and yet God is saying, you know what? I got you. You got to get rid of that. You got to get rid of that. There's some things that I want to do in your life, but you're allowing these things of the past get in the way of me. And so let me clear out your weeds in your life by the word. So by mentioning Demas, it reminded Paul of more faithful co-workers. Paul did not criticize Cretans and Titus. Why? Because apparently God had a call for them. And so aren't you so blessed that when you do leave, hey, there were some wonderful people that started with us and we blessed them out. Perfect story. Our precious past worship leader, Pastor Matt Cage. This man just walked in total honor. He worked for, what's the name of that company? Nordstrom's for 27 years. He was the fourth man from the owner all the way down. He was the fourth guy. He was responsible for all the bistros in all of Southern California and Nevada, Texas, Oregon. Every week he would be flying out there making sure those bistros were running. I mean, he had authority. When he would walk into the kitchens, hello, Mr. Cage. But he would walk with humility. And when he was asked to come to our little church to lead worship, and he knew that the majority of us would probably be a Hispanic in here, he came and he humbled himself and he led worship for 5.5 years here. I mean, that is the grace of God. Can I get an amen? That is God's mercy. And so he endured coming down from Claremont all the way here and just walking with humility. So we blessed him out. And now he's leading worship in Idaho. The church is 5,000 deep. And he's leading worship. You see, he was faithful to the little things. And God elevated him to greater things. Why? Because of obedience. He was obedient. And he loved to serve the Lord. You see, Titus was dispatched from Rome to Dalmatia, suggests that no longer he ministered in Crete, which was the focus of Paul's letter. But Demas, he forsook Paul. And what does the Word of God talk about when you forsake someone? For no reason or because you're angry. Well, the Word of God tells us right up here, look, do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father. Do not go to your brother's house with disaster when it strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. In other words, man, just stay right with Christ and stay right with your friends. Can I get an amen? Especially if they love the Lord. Don't forsake because of a selfish reason. People leave for selfish motives. But you know what? God looks right through and sees that motive. He looks past what we may think. Look at this next script right here. My relatives have failed. My close friends have forgotten me. This is Job. How many know the story of Job? Job lost his children, he lost his health, he lost his wealth, he was left to nothing, and he was the Gates. What's his first name? Bill Gates. He was a Bill Gates of the day, multi-billionaire. He was the wealthiest man during this time. He had everything. But look what he says here. My relatives failed. My close friends have forgotten me. Those who dwell in my house and my maidservants count me as a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. I call my servant, but he gives no answer. I beg him with my mouth. My breath is offensive to my wife. Wow. I didn't write this. Job wrote it. Can I get an amen? Look at this. And I am repulsive to the children of my own body. Look at verse 18. Even young children despise me. I rise and they speak against me. All my close friends abhor me. And those whom I love have turned against me. My bone clings to my skin and my flesh. And I have escaped by the skin of my teeth. This is when you're all alone. Paul was writing this letter in Timothy as he was closing out the letter. I'm alone. And no one's here for me. I'm about to lose my head. And no one's here to even pray for me. Wow. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. He was abandoned. Oh yeah, look at this right up here. And immediately, Mark 14:43, immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12 with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priest and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal saying, whoever I kiss, he is the one. Take him and lead him away safely. He was with Jesus for what? 3.5 years. And he saw, back in the old day, we used to call money. How many ducats you got? 30 pieces of silver, just for some ducats. He betrayed the Son of God. There's people that will betray you less than that. But are you willing to stand with Christ, even when they hurt your feelings? Some people will cut and run, and they'll think the worst of you. And you're not even thinking about them that way at all. But they're like, cursing you out. Look at this. And then he says in verse 45, as soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said, Rabbi, Rabbi. And then he kissed him. Man, that's what you call a dog. He dogged him out. He dogged out the King of Kings, who spoke the whole world into existence. Look at verse 46. And then they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest. And he cut off his ears. Then Jesus answered and said to them, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? Look at this. I was daily with you in the temple teaching you. And you didn't take me then. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then they all, what? Forsook him. And fled. Paul was getting a taste of this. He's going, wow. If they left the King of Kings, they're going to leave me too. And guess what? Some will leave you too. Look at Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, and this is why we need to cling to Jesus. You know why? Because he says, I will never leave you or what? Forsake you. He's the only one that'll cling to you closer than a brother. Jesus is the only one that will say, I ain't going to leave you. But if they hated you, it's because they hated me. So look at this. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Paul came to a point. All right, yeah, they left me. They all forsook me. But he still has Jesus. How many of you have been in dark moments in your life? Come on, how many of you felt like you are all alone and no one's there? How many of you have been crying in your room time or maybe several nights? Oh, God. And the devil will come and pound your mind. That's when you have to rise up in faith. That's when the Bible says you have to have the faith the size of a mustard seed. You know how small a mustard seed? I always say it in a kidding way. It's smaller than a pulga. Okay, it's smaller than a flea. But God said, have the faith the size of a mustard seed, and you can move that mountain. Thank you, God. Let's go to verse 11, Luke. Look what it says. Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful for me in ministering. Saints, Demas had deserted, but Cretans and Titus and Tychius had been sent on various missions. Only Luke, the doctor, remained with Paul. And I think I know why God appointed him there. You know why? Because Paul was always beaten like a pulp. And he needed his wounds bounded up. Colossians 4:14. Look, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas, they greet you. So Demas was there too. Saints, Luke had accompanied Paul on the second and third missionary journeys, as well as the voyage to Rome. This traveling companion and historian, author of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, probably had to frequently use medical expertise as Paul and his companions were injured with whips, stones in their travels. I think some of you, if you were walking, say, out of the church or wherever, maybe someone spotted you, man, that's a Christian over there. And then a van pulled up, threw a bag on your head and took you into the van. And then they cornered you somewhere, and they had some big old iron bars, and they were telling you, forsake Jesus. And they were pounding you and pounding you. What are you going to do? I'm asking myself the same thing. What will I do? That's what happened to Paul. They captured him, and they took these rods, and they started beating him to give up the name of God, to curse your God. My goodness. But not with Paul. This is why God allowed him to read and write and to give to us 2,000 years later the Word of God that stands forevermore. The reward for him is beyond our comprehension for what he had to endure. And so he may have been Paul's secretary for this epistle, and we read in 2 Timothy into writing as being the apostle that was dedicated. In addition, Luke probably cared for Paul's illness, described as a thorn in his flesh. We don't know what that thorn is. I'm going to ask you, what's your thorn in your flesh? As a Christian, there's a couple of things in my own life that's been a thorn in my flesh. And I've been always at God, will you? I think sometimes the diabetes that I have, that's that thorn in the flesh to keep me humble before him. You know, he could deliver you just like that. And I've seen him deliver all kinds of people just like that. You know what that would do for me? Go back and eat more ice cream. No, sometimes he allows things to keep on keeping you at bay so that you would know that he is God and you're not. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. Look at this. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Look at that, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. I mean, sometimes to whip me. God allows Satan to come and buffet him. What? There's some times that God allows in our life, and you got to just say, okay, God, nevertheless, I'm still going to serve you. That's what happened to Paul. Look at this. Lest I be exalted above measure. God was using them mightily. And this is a message for us that when God uses you, don't you boast. Oh, look at me now. How you like me now? God was using that man mightily. And God had to keep him humble. You got to remember, the man was brilliant. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He came from the line of Benjamin. The guy came with all kinds of accolades and awards, and he was the man. He was the highest rabbi at the time in Jerusalem. They honored and respected Saul of Tarsus because he had it all together. He could have used his persuasion. But you know what he said? I tossed it all out as dung for the cause of Christ. What have you thrown away for the cause of Christ? Huh? What have you given to God? Say, take this from me. This is not working. I want to do it your way, God. Look at this. Lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. How many times have you been asking, oh, God, get something right in my life? And he allows it to stay. Why? He's not done in that area. He's doing something. You got to learn to give it to him. You got to learn how to give it all to him. We got to learn how to die to self. Can I get an amen? Because when self's in the way, then nothing else matters but the unholy triuneness of man. You know what the unholy triune of man is? Me, myself, and I. It's all about me. Look at verse 9 here. And he said to me, oh, hallelujah. This is what God will say to you when you're going, oh, God, just remove it. Take it from me, God. Restore my relationship with my husband and my wife. Restore my relationship with my kids. Restore my finances, oh God. Restore all this, oh God. And God says, my grace is sufficient. Just put your affections and your love toward me and honor me with everything. Look at this. From my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You got to humble yourself, man, and come weak before God and say, God, I can't do this no more. I got to give it to you. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Man, when's the last time you said, man, I take pleasure, man, in what I'm going through right now? No, we want to run from it. We want to cut and run and dodge it. No, I don't want to go through that. Well, keep on complaining because you're going to stay in it until he's done with you in it. And reproaches and needs and persecutions and distress. What? For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed to know that God is in your court? He's going to strengthen you. He's going to take you through. But we weep. Woe is me. And we find ourselves in pity parties, man. And you know, all he said, when are you going to learn to give it to me? Or we'll come to the altar. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then we leave it there. And then we walk away. And then we take it back. And we take it back with us. I don't want to leave it there. I'm just telling you what God said to do better. Can I get an amen? I'm not giving you my opinion. If I give you my opinion, it don't matter. It don't work. God's word is true. Hallelujah. And sometimes God's word bites us sometimes. And there's a sting to it. But that's a good sting. You ever had an abrasion on your hand? Especially where it's kind of like not on your leg, but on your hand. And that's where a lot of nerves are. And then you ever put methylic on it? You guys know what methylic is? Bad, it burns. What? Well, sometimes we got to allow God to sting us every now and then. Can I get an amen? Help us, Lord. Wake up. See, Luke had shared Paul's first Roman imprisonment. Paul missed his young helpers, Timothy and Mark. Timothy was to pick up Mark. Apparently, Mark was located somewhere else along Timothy's route to bring him along. Thank you, God. Mark left Paul and Barnabas and on his first missionary journey. And this had greatly upset Paul. And, you know, Paul had to reconcile with Mark. He did. Because Paul earlier rebuked him. But look what it says here in Acts. This gives you kind of a story. Remember, we're in the very last pages of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul's about ready to get his head chopped off. And so we're recalling now on his life. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see now what they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with him John, who was called Mark. So now in Timothy, he's saying, "Bring Mark. Bring Mark. I know he'll come." And so Mark eventually came with Timothy. That's why Timothy is written for us. If Timothy would have never came back, he would have never got that epistle and wrote what we're reading tonight. It was God's grace. See, you won't find this out on a regular Sunday morning. That's why you need to come out Wednesday night. Book, chapter, verse. Why? So we can get deeper and go through the scriptures and understand the full content of the matter. Can I get amen? And so look at verse 38 here. Paul insisted that he should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Yes, Christians do have contentions. We're reading it right here. That's why there's not a perfect church. Can I get an amen? If you go to a church, man, and everyone's like, "What? Yeah, yeah." And, you know, and they're all like angels on harps on clouds. I'm sorry. As soon as I walk in, man, it's not harping no more. I'm just saying that there is not a perfect church. But when Jesus comes, he's going to make things all perfect. Can I get an amen? That's why I can't wait till he comes, because he's going to get rid of these bodies of flesh. These bodies of flesh, I tell you, is the enemy to the cross. Can I get an amen? That's why Paul says, "I die daily to myself." You got to learn how to die to yourself and let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Because the flesh wants to have it his own way. It won't listen to instruction. It won't listen to the word of God. It'll have its own mind opinion. I've heard this one brother say to me, "Well, the scriptures have their own interpretation." No, when they're saying heaven and hell, there's a heaven and there's a hell. There's nothing to interpret. You're either going there or you're going there. Did you know that there is no purgatory? I read a whole bunch of articles when the Pope went on record. "Well, I don't think there's a hell." Really? You know how many Catholics were bombarding? Said, "I want my money back." And you know how the wealth of the Catholic Church got to be? All the money came in because they were praying that my son and my daughter, who was probably wicked, I don't want them to go to hell, so I want them to go to purgatory and pull them out. So they paid the church to pray them out. You don't find that in Scripture. That's a false doctrine. My goodness. That's why you got to be in your word. Can I get an amen? If you operate under your own understanding, you will stand before God and say, "Man, well, this is what I thought." No, this is what is written. And you're going to have no one to call upon. It'll be you naked before him. Nobody else. You and him. Man, learn on this earth. Yes, Lord.
Yes, God, I know it hurts. Yes, God, I want to follow you, God. I want to honor you. I want to honor your word. And then watch God start blessing your life. He'll start putting, patching everything up that's all distorted. He just wants you to walk in faith and believe him. Can I get an amen? God is good. He's worthy. Look at 1 Peter 5 and 12. But by Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God for which you stand. And so she's in Babylon, elected together with you, greets you. And so does Mark, my son. Thank you, God. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ. So let's move on to verse 12 in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Tychius I have sent to Ephesus. So he has sent many and blessed them out. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And Tychius, a trusted companion and messenger, he delivered the letters to Ephesians and the Colossian church. Look at Ephesians 6:21. We're going to go through these quickly because we got to get there before time runs out. Ephesians 6:21. But you, that you also may know my affair and how I am doing. Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you. So we read earlier that Paul was putting Alexander on blast, huh? Why? Because he rejected the things of God and he had to put them on blast. These guys, they're mentioned because they honor God. So my question is this. When God shouts from heaven, do you want him to exalt you or do you want him to blast you? Put you on e-blast. I think we'd rather have, Lord, thank you, God, and have his blessings come from heaven. Can I get amen? Look at Colossians 4:7. Tychius, a beloved brother. That's not what he said about Alexander. He said, man, stay away from that man, Alexander. He doesn't want to listen to the word of God. Alexander was the kind of guy that questioned everything that Paul said. When you get someone questioning the word of God, questioning your leader, questioning your pastor, you are out of order. Because if it doesn't line up with God's word, yeah, then that person's out of order. But man, those who labor in the word, that labor to minister to the body of Christ, man, you got to say, God, to God be the glory, and be thankful that God has placed a shepherd for you. Can I get an amen? But there are some people that will cut and run. Well, I'm just going to go over here because I like what they're saying better. And there's people that do that all day long. Ask the people in China who hope that there's a church. They're in church 12 hours underground. They got one page. We're so spoiled here in America. We're spoiled rotten. Yeah, we are. Yeah, well, if I don't feel like it, I just won't come today. It is what it is. And so let's go to verse 13. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus and Troas when you come in the brooks, especially the parchments. Saying, because he was a prisoner in a damp and chilly dungeon, Paul asked Timothy to bring him his coat. He was cold. He was cold. And his head was about ready to be lopped off. He just wanted to be comforted before he went. A heavy outer garment, circular in shape, with a hole in the middle for his head, like a poncho. That's what he had. But he didn't have it in prison. He had to wait 3 months for it. That's how long it took to get from Ephesus to the other part of the world. Wow. And you have problems? We got problems? Paul left it at the home of a man named Carpus, apparently where Paul stayed on one of his visits to Troas. Listen. You may disagree with people in life. You may disagree with your brother and sister in Christ. You may disagree with your pastor, your elder, those who love you and care for you. But I want us to be reminded what Jesus said on the Mount of Beatitudes. This is going to be etched in heaven forevermore. It's already etched forevermore. But look what it says right up here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. He was just saying, please bring me something because I'm free. I'm cold. He wanted to be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. When you honor God and you follow him with your whole heart, soul, and mind, and you learn to die to self, that's when God says he puts that hunger and thirst for righteousness in you. That only comes from God. It cannot be our own righteousness, because the Bible says our own righteousness, but filthy rags. And you know what a filthy rag is? Huh? For some of you that don't know the Hebrew content of a filthy rag, it's a woman's cloth that she uses once a month. That's a filthy rag. Search it out. It's there. Look at this. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you're truly walking in purity, and say, God, I want to obey you. I want to honor you. I want to honor all the things that you put in my life. Then God said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So this is what we have to get tonight, is God's word is pure and holy and righteous. And if we're questioning everything that comes out of here, you need to be questioning your faith. Look at this. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Aren't you so blessed that God makes a way for us? I know sometimes it can be a little rough up here, but guess what? I'm not called to give you what you want to hear. We go through the scriptures and we have to read it for what it says. Can I get an amen? We don't hop, skip, and jump. Oh, no, I'm not going to talk about that. They may not come back again. Don't come back. Just don't come back. You know why? Because God will get a hold of you somewhere else. And you're going to start from the starting gate again. God knows what he's doing. And look at this. Alexander, the coppersmith, did much harm. Verse 14. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Oh my gosh. Listen. All I'm going to say this is graciously as I can. But if God has truly anointed somebody, call somebody. I know for a fact I learned it the hard way. I learned this firsthand. When we were being raised up at Mission Valley, I got an altercation with my own pastor. And God had to get a hold of me when I was in Tennessee. He says, you go back and humble yourself. And you go back and ask forgiveness because I anointed him over you. Man. I had to eat some humble pie. But if I would have never done that, I wouldn't be here today teaching you. I wouldn't. Because I'd still be walking in rebellion. But this is what God says. And this is why he blasted Alexander. Why? Because Alexander came against Paul and falsely accused him. And then forsook him. And then he said, and watch what he says and stay away from him. Why? Because he's just spewing out venom. When people are backbiting the ministry and they're going, man, shut them up. Say, you know what? If you don't have nothing good to say, don't say it at all. And if you have something negative, pray for the pastor. Pray for the leadership. Pray. But man, there's people that they just want to shoot it from the, our brother G would say it, talking out the side of their neck. So I'm going to take heed now on what you're going to read. Right up here. Psalms 105:13. When they went from one nation to another, from kingdom to another people, this is the prophets that would come and bring the word. He permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do not my prophets no harm. Why? Because you'll be dealing with God. Not with the man of God, but with God himself. Just be kind. Be gracious. Be thankful. A lot of us are not thankful. Learn to be thankful. And I'm not reading this out of contents either. Because if it's just mentioned one time, what are you doing? Building a ministry off that? No. You better take heed. Look at 1 Chronicles 16:22. Look at this. He permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do not do my prophets no harm. When a prophet comes, like Brother Felipe, when he came, he prophesied. How dare we if we come against someone that's anointed like that? How dare you come against your pastor when he's trying to exhort you? He's trying to help you get things right in your life. And then you question it. That is rebellion to the T. And if you're hearing it for the first time on the internet or wherever you are, take heed to it, because God's word you don't play with. Can I get amen? Take it for what it is. Let's go. There's another scripture, I believe. Psalms 20. No, I know that the Lord saves his what? He saves his anointed. Listen, when God has his hand on an anointed one, the gates of hell can't prevail against him or her. That's right. God will preserve that man of God. God will keep that man of God, that woman of God. The gates of hell could come against that person. But guess what? God will still, hallelujah, save that person. Can I get amen? Look at this. He saved the anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, may the king answer us when we call. This is why I know. I seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in ministry. And when I see the ugly and the bad, you know what? I just get on my knees and say, God, don't let my heart rise up in anger. Keep me humble, God. You deal with it. You deal with their treacherous ways. I can't. No matter what I say, they won't listen. They got plugged ears. I can't open their ears, but God can. God can do that. We serve a mighty God. And so, our last verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. At my first defense, look at this, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. Oh, but look at his humility. Look at God. Look what God showed Paul. What did he say? May it not be charged against them. They said some bad things about me. May it not be charged against them. That's not weakness. That's meekness. Because Paul was a man of authority, yet he humbled himself at the cross. Can I get amen? He humbled himself. And this is the first time Paul was brought before the judge and was most likely a preliminary hearing of which advocates for the accused who were usually heard. The Roman legal system allowed for several steps in the prosecution of an accused criminal. Clearly, the mention of a first indicates an expectation of a second defense. In any case, saints, no one had come to speak in Paul's defense. Although sorely disappointed, Paul seemed to understand, for he hoped that this would be not counted against those evildoers. He understood what Jesus said. I need you to catch this. You know, in this auditorium in here, it's all Jewish symbols and all that. Well, we're in a synagogue. But I made sure that the cross is right here. Because it's all about the cross. And when Jesus chose to get up on that cross, he saw you and you and you and you and me and you 2,000 years later, that he would die for us. And one of the things, as he was up there, he looked and saw all the false accusers. He saw all those that spat on him. He saw all that mocked him. He saw all that beat him. He saw all those who ridiculed him. And they put him to shame on a cross, on a crime he did not do. And what did he say? What did he say? Did he say, man, I'm going to get all of you. You wait and see. Did he say that? Or did he say, you know what? I'm going to call upon just one legion of angels and wipe you all out with one sword. Did he say that? No, he didn't, huh? Let me ask you this question before we close. When the gates of hell seem like they're all against you, and you're in a dark place, and you're cold and all alone like Paul, and you think that there's no one there, and you have all these people that you think that, man, have done you wrong, has said and mocked and cursed you, and maybe they did. Can we be like Jesus, who said it just like this? Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then they divided his garments and they cast lots. He was up there saying, Father, forgive them. Come on, man. If someone busted you upside your head out of nowhere, just slapped your lips, don't you feel like, what? Oh, man, those are your fire. Come on, let's roll now. They did so much worse than that. And what did he say? That's a hard pill to swallow tonight, isn't it? Can you truly forgive someone that's done you wrong? How many have you been really hurt in life? Okay, just me. I think we all need some coffee. I think everyone's just... Come on, how many have you been hurt in life? All right. Can we learn to be like Jesus? Huh? I remember my sister told me, I know that, remember I was trying to tell people, come up here, I don't bite you. And she goes, yeah, but sometimes that word bites us. I remember what she said. Well, guess what? As the word comes and bites us, he's got a piece of me too. I'm getting bitten too. I'm not exempt. Can I get an amen? Amen. And let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for book, chapter, and verse. Lord, I thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives. I thank you, God, that you teach us through your word, that your word is true, it's proven, it's tested, and there's no error in your word. And Lord, keep us humble before you, God. Keep us at bay, oh God. And Lord, when our flesh wants to rise up, Lord, let us learn how to die to self and put you first. Lord, let us always hide behind the cross. For that's where our strength and our help comes from. It comes from you, God. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that you would help us in every aspect of our life. Lord, there's some of us, Lord, that struggle in our health. We struggle in relationships. We struggle in finances. We struggle in ministry. We struggle on the job. It's just like life is a struggle. And Lord, we're finding out that we all have a thorn in our side. But you said your grace is sufficient. So God, help us walk in your grace. Help us walk in your love. Help us walk in your ways, oh God. And Lord, We were reminded tonight that you would never leave us nor forsake us. Even though we feel sometimes we're all alone, even sometimes when we need a coat because we're cold, even some of us who maybe our days are numbered, we don't know when you're going to come and get us. But God, would you continue to have our adoration, our heart, our mind, our hope, looking unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so I'm praying right now for those that are in the struggle right now. Maybe you're in a trial right now and things just don't click right. I try to do this and I try to do that and it just doesn't go right. It's always a struggle. And so if that's you, and it could be me, then we need to examine our heart to make sure that we're lined up to the will of God so that you would get those things right in our life and that you would help us stop murmuring and complaining and to honor you and to thank you for everything that you have given us here, because the poorest person in our country is a king and a queen in a third world country. No one starves in our country. And as soon as they come across the border, they got an EBT card. Lord, you have blessed this nation. And so, God, I pray, Lord, your hand of grace and mercy upon us. Lord, thank you for every now and then, Lord, you have to remind us that your word is true. And that we want to learn just to die daily to you, God. That you would be exalted and high and lifted up in our life. Teach us your mighty ways, O God. And teach us, Lord, when we go through our trials and tribulations, Lord, that we would help others who are going through no differently. That we can encourage them. You can make it too. And so, God, I'm praying for maybe those who never given their heart to you, Jesus. And if you're listening to this message, I pray that you pray this simple prayer and that God will radically change your heart from the inside out. He'll give you a new start in life. And he'll give you joy unspeakable. He'll give you direction, a new path. And he will show you his mighty plan for you. And so if that's you, pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give God praise and glory in the house.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.